We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Feel it coming in the air.
Yeah.
The sonic symbols everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to the truth.
I'm ready.
It's a dangerous love affair. Can't be scared when it goes down. Stand for
flip
freedom here and now.
Undo the spell.
Only thing that's on my mind. Who's gonna free this town tonight?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. A big, huge, warm welcome this evening to the Kev Baker Show. I want to thank you so much for choosing to tune in to truthfrequencyradio.com again and for keeping it TFR. And tonight we're going to be starting a very special series with our regular guest and friend of the show, Mr. Jordan Maxwell. But before we get to Jordan, I just want to get a quick word with my co-host, Johnny Sinclair. How's it going, sir?
I'm fine, Kev. Thanks very much. Looking forward to hearing Jordan Maxwell stuff tonight. It should be interesting.
Oh, it always is interesting, John. And I'm just gauging the chat room there before the show. I think it's about time we got Doolin back on sometime later in the week, John, because with everything that's going on geopolitically in the world, I think Doolin would be a really good addition for a roundtable one night real soon. So I'll get to work for that for the chat room. But without any further ado, folks, we've brought on Mr. Jordan Maxwell tonight, and Jordan's going to be speaking to us about astrotheology. Now, Jordan, welcome back to the Kev Baker Show. How are you doing, sir?
Well, just fine, and always happy to be with you, and thank you for inviting me again.
Well, again, it's our pleasure, Jordan, as always. And you were saying to me after last week's show, you would really like to drill into the topic of astrotheology. So I think that would be a really good thing for us to start on, Jordan.
Well, since we're going to be doing a multiple program, a multiple show on the subject, because one show does not even cover the introduction, much less the subject. And since we're going to be multiple shows on this, there are a few things I'd like to say first as a prelude to the story. What I want to ultimately talk about is the story of Jesus in the Bible, and explain to you the metaphor that I am saying that the New Testament is, you know, people, those atheists will say, oh, it's a lie, and it's a made-up story, et cetera, and leave it at that. I don't do that. I have a very, very high respect for God. I have a very high respect for the unseen powers of the universe. I believe is a divine.
Jordan, can I just stop you there? I'm actually going to reconnect you, sir, because the line we've got right now is a bit fuzzy, so I'm just going to hang up and I'll phone you straight back, okay?
Okay.
Just bear with us, listeners. That was a bit fuzzy this end. I don't know if that transmitted across. John, were you picking up on that?
Yeah, it was a bit cutting out a wee bit, Kev.
Certainly was. And I don't want anyone to miss any of this information. And before I bring Jordan back on, if you want to grab a pen and a pencil, I think it'd probably be quite important. So let's bring Jordan back on now. Ring, 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 ring. The joys of modern technology, Jono.
Well, this is it, Kev. This is Skype at its best.
It certainly is. But this sounds like it's going to be quite a fascinating series. It's obviously going to have to be broken down into a number of episodes. There we go, Jordan. You're back again. Let's hear how you are now.
Okay. Are we okay now?
That's absolutely brilliant. You're loud and clear and ready to go.
Okay. Well, like I said, I am not an iconoclast. I'm not someone who is condemning or attacking religion. I have the highest of respect for spirituality and for the concept of God. I am totally sure that there is a higher intelligence in the universe that we humans cannot comprehend, much less understand. So I'm not condemning anyone's religion. I'm not condemning anything. So I just want to make that clear, that I was born and raised in a Christian home, and I have the highest respect for spirituality and spiritual stories. But having said that, I think that there is a very important matter that needs to be discussed, and that is the actual history of religion. Because there is obviously, on the face of it, obviously, there are many truths, many things which are provable, factual truth about the spiritual life of mankind. Many things have been developed over the thousands of years, understandings and concepts and ideas by the great masters, the great teachers, which are always true. And there are great philosophies about life that have been proven to be true. And so with that and the idea that I am totally committed to the idea that there is a divine presence in the universe that we, for lack of a better term, we call it God. I don't know what God is. I just know it's not on TV and it's not in the church. It's not a synagogue or a mosque. God is too big for one religion. So having said that, I think that there is a time and a place for everything. And I think it's an idea whose time has come to look at the foundations of where our belief systems have come from so we can better understand how to know spiritual truths. Because if you're just given something by someone who doesn't know anything more than you do, if you go to a church or to a rabbi or to any religious leader and they're telling you what to believe, then you find out later on that they were just told that by somebody else. They learned that in their schools or in their church. And so they passed it on to you and you believed it. You taught your children that. And then when you left this world, they taught their children that. And before you know it, for thousands of years, people have been teaching stuff that some goofball 2,000 years ago started a rumor and today as a major religion. So I am of the opinion that it's an idea whose time has come to look at the real history of religion. And especially, as I said, in relation to Christianity and the story about Jesus and where did they come from. We've all seen and heard about Bible codes. Been a lot of talk about Bible codes. Well, according to the rabbis, there are many, many codes in the Old Testament. Not the Bible's Old Testament, the King James Bible, not that Old Testament, but in the original writings that we refer to today as the Old Testament. If you go back to the Hebrew writings or to the Aramaic writings or to the ancient writings from which we get the Old Testament, there is a code. There are codes, more than one, in those ancient writings. Most of that's been lost when it was translated into English for the King James Bible, and ever since then, all of those codes have been lost. There are still a few interesting codes there, but they don't seem to be too much of importance. The rabbis will tell you this. It's true in the old writings, these are coded terms and coded messages. And you call it the Old Testament. So what I want to ultimately talk about is the encoded metaphors, symbolic stories in the New Testament about Jesus so that you can finally understand where all of these stories have come from.
Jordan, do you know what I'm actually going to do? I'm going to start a totally fresh call with the network because this has dropped again. So if the listeners just bear with me 20 seconds or so, I'll hook up a brand new call. Okay, Jordan, 2 seconds. There we go, folks. That's us back. Let's hope that's sorted out. The gremlins on the Skype. Jordan, welcome back again, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Let's see how this holds this time. Hopefully this will be okay this time.
Well, that's the technology of today. So everything man does is imperfect. But that's fine. We'll see how it goes. Are you hearing me all right now?
Yeah, you're coming in loud and clear again, Jordan. Okay. That's perfect.
Okay, so anyway... First of all, not me, I'm not the one that's saying it, but the best historian, archaeologist, paleontologist, the best scientific minds in Israel today are writing many books and many articles today about the Old Testament itself. And there's a book, there's one that comes to my mind called Unearthing the Bible. I think one of the authors, two authors, one of them is Finkelstein, Unearthing the Bible. And in there, it's just one of many books, but in there, the author are scientists, paleontologists, archaeologists, and they are highly revered and highly respected in Israel. And they are saying that the Old Testament stories are mostly myth, that generally speaking, there was no Moses. Moses never existed. There was no man named Moses. There was no King King David or King Solomon or any of the prophets, the prophetic names. All of those stories of King Saul and King David, these are all metaphors. They're symbolic, encoded stories that has nothing to do with history itself at all. And these are the best minds in Israel today who are saying this, not me. But I already knew that. I'm just amazed that it is now finally, Israel itself is finally admitting that the Old Testament is just what it's called. We refer to the Bible as the greatest story ever told. And the reason why is because it is the greatest story ever told. It's a story. It's not a collection of facts. It is a story. And in the story of the Old Testament, we call the Bible, is an encoded metaphor, symbolic stories that are telling you something. And this is why that has Jesus saying, this is why Jesus has said, having Jesus say in the scriptures, that many will look with their eyes but not see, and will listen with their ears but not hear, and with their heart not get the sense of it. Then later on, Jesus is asked in this metaphor, in this symbolic story, Jesus is asked by the people of his day, why do you teach in parables? Why is it you don't speak directly to us? You use parables. Why is that? And the answer is, it says, Jesus said, I speak to you in parables so that you will not understand what I'm saying. I am purposely saying things in such a way you will not get the sense of it and save your life and be helped and be saved. You will not get it. I don't want you to get it. I personally do not wish for you to get knowledge of the divine. I'm saying it in such a way that you, because you are ignorant, because you are materialistic, you will take the stories and make a big history out of it. When in point of fact, it's not history, it's a metaphor, and I don't want you getting it. I don't want you to understand. I want only those people that God calls to hear me. I am not interested in saving the world. I'm interested in teaching spiritually important things in a metaphor. So therefore, we can take everything in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Most of it is a metaphor. It's a symbolic story. And as I said, this series that we're talking about doing, starting tonight, ultimately, I want it to be the stories of the New Testament and showing how the stories that we read in the Bible about Jesus is actually telling you something than what you thought. And when I begin to lay this out for you, so many times people will say, now that makes sense. But for the first time, these stories about Jesus finally make sense. Now I understand what the Bible is saying when it talks about Jesus and what he did and where he went, etc. Now it makes sense. So that's what I'm hoping to do on this show over the next few programs we do, is to show you how to make sense of the stories of Jesus. Because the New Testament is not a history. And if you take the New Testament as a history, which the churches of the world do, then you're going to have nothing but confusion, which you do. Today there is tremendous confusion between Catholics as to what the Bible actually says, what religion actually says. This will have so many different groups and within the Catholic Church. All over the world, you've got all kinds of different priesthoods and different groups that see things totally different from each other, but they're all Catholic. They're all in one church. But there are many different kinds of Catholics. And some reject this, and some reject that, and some teach this, and some reject that. So it shows you there's confusion in the land when it comes to religion. And then, of course, when you bring in the Protestant religion, there's enormous confusion, because all the different Protestant religions will claim that they have correct understanding and all the Protestant other religions are wrong. Then throw into that mix modern-day York-like cult in America, the Mormons, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Second Adventist movement, Jehovah's Witnesses, and God knows all the rest of these modern cults, and now you're seeing nothing but confusion all over the world. And this is what I'm talking about, trying to awaken people to the fact that all of these cults, all of these religions, are looking at the New Testament story of Jesus as history, and it's not history. It's a metaphor and a symbolic story, and that's why there's so much confusion about religion today.
And Jordan, just look at over the ages, all the wars that have been fought on the grounds of religion and different religions, and yet most of the people don't even know what they're fighting for then, obviously.
That's what Hitler said. Adolf Hitler was quoted as saying, how fortunate for us, he said, how fortunate for us that people do not think. That's a direct quote from Adolf Hitler. How fortunate for us that people do not think. Yeah, because if you were a dictator like Adolf Hitler in a country that 90% of the people have PhDs and doctorates and are highly, highly educated, well-read people, you are not going to be a dictator for very long, because the whole country is smarter than you are. And so the best way to have a dictatorship like Adolf Hitler did is to make sure that everyone in the country has an IQ of 40. Make sure they got cold beer and music and entertainment and all their sports and all that, but nobody is allowed to read.
Jordan, that sounds like the actual world that we live in just now in America and the UK. Everyone is getting dumbed down. It's definitely a process that they're working on via the Common Core in America. And it's very true that after World War II, Hitler may have lost the war, but the Nazis, certainly, their ethos moved west, didn't it?
Of course they did. Of course. They lost that particular battle. They didn't lose the war. They lost that battle. They never went anywhere. The word is mutated. They evolved and mutated the Nazi Party, and they came to America and moved into America, into Washington, D.C. They came to move into Mexico and Central and South America, and they set up. That's a whole story in itself about what happened to the Nazi movement after the Second World War. One thing we do know for sure is that the Nazi movement is alive and well as it was in the time of Adolf Hitler. The Nazi movement is profoundly powerful today, well-financed, highly organized, and extraordinarily powerful all over the world. But they don't call themselves Nazis. anymore. That's not very fashionable. And so there are different secret societies who are continuing the work of Adolf Hitler and continuing the work of the Thule Society and the Germanian Order and all of these pan-Germanist conspiracies that were brought about Second World War. They're still here. They're working. They're doing just fine. They're making nothing but money. And so we can talk about that one of these days, too. But anyway, going back to the Bible being a metaphor. My goodness, where do you start? Well, I'm thinking before we get into the story of Jesus, we need to lay some foundation on the Old Testament stories, too. Since we know that Moses, as an actual historical person, never existed. There was no Moses. As I said, there was no King David. There was no King Solomon. All of these biblical figures never existed in Bible stories. Well, Moses was the leader, symbolically, Moses was the leader of a lunar religion. Moses was the leader of a moon cult. Worshippers of the moon, their holy man in the lunar cult was named Moses. As I said, Moses as a man never lived, but the moon-worshipping peoples of the Middle East came by having a leader called Moses. Moses was the leader of a moon cult. And this is why, I mean, we could go into it for a little bit and explain why it was that Moses was the leader of a moon-worshipping people. Those people today we refer to as Hebrews or Jews, the Jewish people, the Hebrews. They are, you know, they are the followers of Moses. Well, Moses was a worshiper of the moon. Well, so are they. So when we say that the Hebrew people, the ancient Hebrews, were the first monotheistic people, the word monotheistic means one. Mono, one. Theistic is God, is the knowledge of God, is called theistic. So worship of one God would be called monotheistic. So we're told that the Jews were the first monotheistic people. They worshiped one. The rabbis will tell you, and the rabbinical reference books, the encyclopedias of the Bible, and all the reference books will tell you, if you spend years reading and studying them, the reference books will tell you that the Jewish people, or the ancient, so-called ancient Hebrews, there were no ancient Hebrews, but the Hebrew people were not monotheistic. They never have been monotheistic. They are not monotheistic today, and they're never going to be monotheistic. The actual term is Heno, spelled H-E-N-O. Look it up in a dictionary, Heno-theistic. Henotheistic is different. It's spelled different than mono. Mono and heno are different words. Henotheistic means king, one God from a group. So if you have, for instance, say 15 gods standing in front of you, and you are required to pick one, like we do in an election. We got five criminals here, they're running for president. Which one do you like? Which one do you want? So if you've got 15 different gods and you're required to pick one, then once you make that decision and pick that one god, then we could say you are now the worshiper of one god. Not that there is only one god. No, you are a worshiper of one God that you picked. And so the word in the reference books is Heno, H-E-N-O, meaning the Hebrews picked one God from a group. And this is obvious when you begin to look at the scriptures in the Old Testament, especially in the Pentateuch, the first five books, where, you know, and the very first commandments that given to the Hebrew people by their one God was, I am the Lord your God. I shall not have strange gods before me. Well, the rabbis have sat with rabbis over the years and listened to them, and they all basically say the same thing. The reason why it's said that way in the Ten Commandments, their God, Yahweh, their God, the Hebrew God, says, I am the Lord your God. I'm not the God of the Native Americans. I'm not the God of the Africans. I'm not the God of the Americans. I am your God. You're the one that picked me, and therefore I agreed to it. So I am the Lord your God, and I will not have other strange gods before me. He didn't say there were no other gods. He just said, don't let me catch you worshiping any other god. You made a contract with me. You picked me. I agreed to it. I am your God. And don't you ever forget it. We made a contract. So I am the Lord your God. So don't be worshiping any other god. There's 14 others, but I don't want you worshiping them. So we know now that the Hebrews were worshipers of one God called Yahweh. Yahweh to Allah. Because in the old Hebrew, in the Hebrew language, El is God. But the God of the Hebrews, El, is the same as Il, or the same as Allah.
Well,
El, Il.
Jordan, that's us just about to go to the break, so we'll just leave it right there just now. And remember, folks, if you stay tuned after the Kev Baker Show, you can catch my good friend and co-host on the network here, fellow host Joe Joseph, with his show, The Freedom Link. Stay tuned for that. And right after him will be Popeye with Down the Rabbit Hole. Don't turn a dial.
Like a cancer that silently spreads.
Aging for Truth with Joe Bannister. Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Big warm welcome back to everyone out there. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Kev Baker Show tonight. With me, your host, Kev Baker. I've got John Sinclair as my co-host tonight, and we've also got Jordan Maxwell, who's been opening up on the topic of astrotheology. Now, Jordan's already said that this is going to take a number of episodes to cover, and I want to assure everyone out there that time is not an issue. Jordan can come back as long as it takes to cover all of this. There's going to be no rush, because I don't think this is the kind of information that we can just skirt over. So, Jordan, you were talking about El just before the break. I'll just let you carry on from there, sir.
Well, when we get into the history of the Old Testament, there are so many things that people just do not know and have never been told. Even Jews today do not know where their stories have come from. For instance, when Moses the Ten Commandments, we are told that he came down with the two large tablets, like in the movies, and Charlton Heston having these two large tablets. Well, in fact, the Bible doesn't say that at all. The story in Genesis says that, in Exodus, says that Moses came down and carried the two tablets that fit in the hand, in the palm of his hand. There was something to be carried in your pocket. They fit within the palm of his hand. So there are two of them, and they were called the testimony. They were called the stones of the testimony. That's an interesting story. What were the Ten Commandments written on? Well, the Bible says that he held in one hand two small stones that were written on both sides, and they were not big tablets. No, they were two small stones in the palm of your hand. And how many Jews know that? Now, going back to the moon of Moses, even today, the Hebrews have the Jews have their holy days after sundown. So So from 6 in the evening to 6 in the evening, the next day, as the Jewish, their day begins at sundown. Why? Because the moon comes out after 6. So when the moon comes out, now they are worshiping their God, so they have a lunar calendar. While the Christians are worshiping the sun, S-U-N, so they go to church and worship on Sunday.
George, I'm going to have to try and connect you again because I'm seeing the chat room there and they're saying it is getting kind of choppy now. So we'll give this another go, okay? Two seconds, folks. And we're back again, Jordan. Let's give this another go. I think the NSA are all over this tonight. They obviously love the subject of astrotheology.
So anyway, so where were we? So I'm just saying that Moses was the leader of a lunar cult. The Jews today built a lunar calendar and a lunar table for their days to start in the evening after sundown. And so if you remember back in Sinai Peninsula, in the middle of the Sinai, there is a high mountain range. And so looking at the Sinai from Egypt and from the Egyptian side of Sinai, looking forward, you see this large high mountain range. And at night, the moon comes up. And all the ancient people saw the moon come up from behind the mountain every night. So the moon was Allah. Allah is a god. And Yahweh is Allah in the Hebrew. So Yahweh, Allah is the same God. God of the moon, the lunar god. And so they said that the moon god obviously lived in the mountain. Right. He comes up from the mountain at 6 o'clock and comes out to officiate over his people. So his people wait for him to wake up and come out after 6. So that's they, all Hebrews have their holidays after 6. So, and at night. Now, are we still hear me?
It's actually getting really, really choppy. I'm going to start a fresh call again. I'll connect you first to see if that helps at all, Jordan. But this is really so frustrating. I apologize to everyone out there. I apologize to you as well, Jordan. This is the first time I've really had these kind of problems. I don't know what's causing this at all. So I'll just 5 seconds, folks, and we'll connect up again. That's us back again, folks. Let's see how we get on this time. I really do want to apologise for the way the audio's coming out tonight. I'm not sure if it's my Skype, if it's Jordan's Skype, but let's just see if we can get this going again, because this really is really interesting stuff. And I'm trying to connect them now. There we go, Jordan. You're back again, and Johnny.
Okay. So, yeah, it's just modern-day technology. It's, you know, who knows? So anyway, the ancient Hebrews were divided into tribes that were called the 12 tribes of Israel. And the 12 tribes were worshippers of the moon god. They were followers of Moses, the lunar god, the lunar leader. And so I think it's interesting that the Native Americans, American Indians, were also divided into tribes. There were more than 12 tribes. There are tribes, and they also were lunar worshippers of the moon, because even there, you know, they talk about many moons have passed. They counted their days by the moon. So the moon god was, as I said, in the Arabic tongue, the moon god was called Allah, and in the Hebrew, Yahweh, and the Phoenician Canaanite area of the world, in Palestine, the moon god was called Sin, S-I-N. Look up the word Sin, and it will tell you that was the moon god in the Phoenician Canaanite culture, in which Sin, Arabic culture, was called Allah. And in the old Hebrew, it was called Yahweh. Yahweh, Allah, Sin, all the same God. The moon. So, so much for lunar worship.
And Jordan, so, you brought up the number 12 there. That number 12 seems to be a recurring theme throughout the Bible, is it not?
Yes, 12 is because that has to do with one God. Because when you bring in 12, that has to do, hold on, that has to do with sun worship. Because the sun, well, you know, now we're talking about Christianity. Christians are worshipers of the sun, S-U-N. So Jesus, symbolically, as a metaphor, I won't get into this yet, but we might as well bring it up now. Jesus is a metaphor as an actual man who existed, the one that we read about in the Bible. Jesus in the Bible, I do not believe was an actual man who actually lived. I believe it's a metaphor. Now, having said that, I know about others, that there were other people in history who were called Yahshua. Yahshua was a name that was used in the ancient world. And Yahshua is translated Yahweh or Joshua or Jesus. So Josephus actually writes about 13 different people named Yahshua or Jesus. And so the Christians will tell you, well, see, there it is. Josephus even writes about Jesus, which I say, no, no, and no. No, Josephus wrote about 13 different Jesuses. Go and get the books of Josephus. Look in the back of the book on the Jesus, and you'll see that he talks about 13 different people. Each one was called Jesus. So the question is, which one? Well, the one that Josephus is talking about, the scriptures, was not in the original text at all. If you go back to the original of Josephus, the portion where he's talking about Jesus the Christ was not in the original. That was, and that few sentences was in during the Middle Ages. So Josephus never talked about Jesus the Christ. He talked about 12 other men who were called Jesus or Yahshua, but not Jesus Christ. That was put in by the church during the Middle Ages. So much for saying that Josephus wrote about Jesus Christ when he did not. Now, are we still being heard?
It's actually, it's dropping and getting better. That was the best it's been for a wee while there, Jordan. So we'll just persevere for now.
Yeah, because we only have a couple of minutes left. We'll try and do this week. So what I'm saying is that, you know, even... if you go back and just look at the whole story of Allah, Yahweh, and Sin, S-I-N, do some research on it. Go to the library, go to the web, do whatever you want, research on Sin, S-I-N, and you will find out that Sin was actually Yahweh, the Hebrew God, Allah, the Arabic God, all the same God, all the same worshippers. And they were always of the sun worshippers. The sun worshippers worship on Sunday. And they're still at war today. God,
Jordan. But Jordan, were you possibly able to sign out of Skype and sign back in to see if that fixes the problem?
Yes. Yes, let me do that.
That'd be perfect. We've still got 20 minutes left, so it'd still be worth probably going for it, because I'd love the listeners out there to get this full information without it being broken up.
Yep, okay. Then.
No problem. I'll watch for you coming back on online, and then I'll connect you again right away, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Johnny, how do you think that's going? I'm really, really so frustrated about the audio quality, but the bits I am making out, and it's just as difficult for me here as it is for the listeners out there. Absolutely fascinating stuff, Whistles, is it not?
It's amazing, Kev.
but it's just a shame that the audio was really choppy at times. It was quite hard to make out, and you were actually waiting in the second part of a word. But his information is phenomenal.
Absolutely fascinating. Amazing. I mean, the piece about Moses and the lunar cults, this is the kind of stuff, when I was first waking up, John, I've heard some of this stuff before, but I don't think you can hear it often enough for it to sink in, if that makes sense. I mean, I know you've looked at some of this before. Absolutely fascinating.
Well, it's some of the things that you pick up, although you may not understand it at first, but it's something else that you'll say later on that you'll click what you were, that you didn't know before. It's amazing how it works.
It's like Jordan says, you actually literally say to yourself, ah, that makes sense now. And a lot of this is when he does say certain things, you can listen to this information 2, 3, 4 times and still get something that you missed the first time. So let's try and bring Jordan back on. I'm not sure if he's actually disconnected, but we'll give it a go anyway, folks, because I don't want to waste any more time. You didn't tune in tonight to hear Kev Baker and Whistles. I know that. So without any further ado, let's see if Mr. Maxwell is all good and well. I hope you're enjoying this out there, folks. And tomorrow night, I'll hopefully try and get Doolin on, and we'll break down what's going on over in Iraq. And it's quite timely that we should be looking at somebody called ISIS over there, don't you think, John? Maybe we should ask Jordan before we sign out tonight just what his take is on the fact that they're using an acronym that is ISIS.
Yeah, I know. I suppose it's better than Boko Haram's true meaning.
Well,
this
is very true, but if you consider ISIS was ISIL, it was the Islamic State of Iraq and Levant, and of course not many people really got the Levant part, so they switched it about to ISIS, which has such symbolic meanings, doesn't it? Johnny Whistles.
Yeah, Kev,
I've just seen you as well, man.
No, it's just Jordan's back online there.
That's him now. Jordan, you're back with us, sir.
Yes, I am. Is it any better?
Well, it sounds better just now. Let's see how it goes. We're holding grey bars on the connection on the Skype. All good and well. Fingers crossed. Let's get into it.
So anyway, what I'm saying is that there's always been contention between the people who worship and the people who worship the sun. And this is why still wars and the moon worshippers ganging up on the sun worshippers, the moon worshippers. It's all very, very... People have no idea in the world where all of these stories have come from. So, having said that, am I still heard right now?
Very choppy. I still have no idea what this is all about, Jordan. I can only apologise to you, sir. I feel like I've wasted your time almost tonight, but I believe it's a connection problem. Chris Geo seems to think it might be your end, but it's been fine in the past, so I can't figure out what's actually gone wrong tonight.
I'm wondering if I called you rather than you calling me. I wonder if that would help.
Yeah, we can try that, and then I can try and add the host. I think I'll be able to add the hosts in from there.
Well, that's
okay.
Why don't you hang up and then I'll call.
Okay. 2 seconds, folks. We'll be back with you. Yes, I am, sir.
Okay. Again, it's just the technology of the day, so who knows. But anyway, so that's the basic the situation in the ancient religions that are still with us today. The people today do not know more about what they're doing than what the people in the ancient world did. They're still worshiping the same old pagan moon god. There's millions and millions of people who bow down and put their butt up there and bow down to a moon god named Allah. That is factual, true. There was no god named Allah. It was a moon god at least 500,000 years before it existed, before Muhammad was even born. There was already the word of Allah in the ancient Arabic. Allah was not new to Islam. Allah was a very old ancient god that seems to be prominent again. But go back to a Wikipedia or dictionary or reference book and do some research on Allah. And you will find that Allah was around a long time before ever existed. It had to do with worship, and Allah is the Hebrew God. All of this stuff has to do with astrotheology, the worship of the heavens. And of course, the sun and moon is part of the heavens. So we've been talking a little about the moon god in reference to what I really want to talk about is the sun god. God's name today, the sun god, is called many, many names. But the primary name today is Jesus. Jesus was a metaphor for the sun. Now, are we having any problems yet?
It's actually cleared up quite a good bit there the last few minutes, Jordan, so I definitely think it's carrying on. But I think there might even be a loose wire in your connection.
Well, maybe so, maybe so. I'm getting
new computers. It's all good, Jordan.
I'm getting new computers tomorrow, and so maybe that will help a lot.
Oh, that's excellent news. So next week you'll be definitely loud and clear. That's good news, sir.
Yeah, I'm getting it. Yeah, I have to work with what I have because I don't have a computer. I'm having to get a new one.
So, Jordan, since we're having a few problems tonight, maybe we should just, other than going on with astrotheology just now, I'm glad you've taken us into the sun side of this because right now we're obviously seeing an organization, if you want to call them that, called ISIS in Iraq.
Yes.
Now, the symbolic connotations of that name alone, would you like to speak to that? I think it's incident, although everything in this world, in my opinion, is orchestrated. I think they're blatantly using that for some reason.
Of course. ISIS gives us Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, I-S-I-S. ISIS, Jesus, Genesis, the word Genesis means the beginning of Isis, Gen Isis. Gen Isis is shortened to Genesis. No, it's Gen Isis. Gen is the generation of the things of something, and Isis is the worship of the feminine, so it's Gen Isis.
Never, ever put that two together in my head at all. Like you said at the start of the show, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. If you break down the word Genesis in the reference, go to the etymology dictionary, it will tell you Genesis is gen, the beginning of, like generation, generate, gen is the beginning of something, and Isis, the worship of Isis. The whole worship of Isis is the story of Isis, is called Gen Isis. So, you know, that's why most Hebrews religion came directly out of Egypt. This is why the Jews were in Egypt and the Israelites were in Egypt here and were the slaves in Egypt. No, the whole story is Egyptian. Gen Isis. And of course, Gen Isis or Isis became known as in the Christian tradition, Isis was known as Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary is simply Isis, the feminine principle. And of course, if you have the Notre Dame University, Notre Dame is Notre Dame University is the university devoted to the Great Dane, Notre Dame. Go back and look at the etymology of Notre Dame, and you will see it says Notre Dame is the Great Dane or Gen Isis. The feminine principle, Isis. And of course, when you look at the island in France where Notre Dame, you will see it's the same as the island where the temple of Isis is in Egypt. It's all connected. Egyptian religion dominates Europe, period. It dominates Judaism, Christianity, Islam. It's all goes back to astrotheology. It goes back to and of course, Isis is directly connected to one of the signs of the zodiac, of the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Joseph, the 12 apostles of Jesus, the 12 symbols on the plate of the high priest of the Hebrews. Everything is done in 12, as you said. Well, one of the, and the reason 12 is because there were 12 signs of the zodiac, the 12 months of the year. And so the 12 followers there, the 12 months of the year, or the 12 signs of the zodiac, all existed in relation to the sun, God's son, with his chosen 12. And so, you know, a whole story when you get a numerology of the Bible. And,
so, but, George, do you think they're trying symbolically or metaphorically kind of get across by using an organization called ISIS right now to cause havoc over there? Do you think they're trying to, is there a reason for that? Do they need to bring something forth by symbolically portraying that?
Yeah, I think so, because in politics, politics is the offspring of religion. Religion is the parent, and government and politics is the offspring of religion. So behind the Islamic world or the high priest, the religious leaders, and they are the ones that are out there promoting wars and violence, and the peoples by the millions are just robotic. They have no brain of their own. They have no ability to decide anything for themselves. They are just blindly leading, as the scripture said, the blind leading the blind, and both shall fall into the pit. And so you have the millions and millions of Islamic people following a moon god that their religious leaders are leading them into, while on the other hand, you've got millions and millions of Jews that are following Yahweh and in the wars in Israel that their rabbis are leading them into. At the same time, you have the Christians who are at war all over the world, and they're being led by Billy Graham, all the nonsensical, ignorant clergy in America and Europe. And then it all turns out to be nothing but organized crime, big money, politics, and it has nothing to do with anything decent or honorable or spiritual. We're just talking about ancient religions, power, money, politics. It's all very, very bloody. It's all very, very evil. But hundreds of millions of people have been bought into Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, who have no idea in the world what's really going on this planet. And that's why I say trying to help the human race and to save the human race from itself is like trying to empty the Pacific with a cup. You've got a handful of people who are highly educated, intelligent, leading the world into dark idiocy.
Well, Jordan, there's the music. That's us done for another week, folks. Well, another night, sorry. We'll be back same time, same tomorrow night. Jordan will be back next week with a new computer, a new Skype. All going well, it'll be clear. So remember, folks, thank you all for tuning in, and wherever you are.